Our passage this morning is from Luke. We'll be looking at Luke chapter 1, verses 39 through 43, and we can follow along in a moment if you look it up in your Bible and your app. We'll also have it on the screen behind me in a moment when we get there. So there's a lot of excitement coming that comes and hovers around the coming of a child. And four times in our lives, in my life, you know, the anticipation of having a child, it just, for some reason, it creates an excitement and a joy. And so when you go to get the first sonogram, right, you hear the heartbeat for the first time, that's amazing. And then you find out if they're a boy or a girl, and so you start preparing, so you start setting up the nursery. You know, in my case, I started talking to Jenny's belly and putting my head there to see what I could hear. And Clark used to like to kick me in the head. But yeah, you know, grandparents start coming in to help. And aunts and uncles are jostling for position as the best aunt or uncle, right? So there's an anticipation and an excitement that's followed by the joy of, after waiting for long periods of time, that you finally meet the person that the buzz was all about. In the following passage, the joy of the whole world is starting to be revealed. So let's look at Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 39. It says this: "In those days, Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah. And she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?'" And this is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. There are three things that I would like to draw out of this passage. There's an excitement to share the good news. The Holy Spirit reveals the good news, and the response to the good news is faith. If you look in verse 1, it's Mary could not wait to share the truth. Right? In verse 39, it says, "In those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah." With haste. It doesn't say that she ran, you know, kind of like walked or just kind of, you know, took her time getting there. Hastily, like spur of the moment, she went to go share the good news with her cousin Elizabeth. You know, when I found out that Jenny was expecting our children, I couldn't wait to tell people about it. And so I'd pick up the phone, and sometimes I would share too early, and Jenny would get upset with me, but I couldn't help it. Something even more exciting to tell the world happened in this passage. Mary knows that Elizabeth is also expecting, because that information was revealed to her earlier in this chapter. And so I'm assuming that she kind of felt like, okay, we have something to talk about. We're both going to have children. So she went to share. But Elizabeth has no reason to know that Mary is expecting. She had no clue that Mary was going to be having a child. But look what happens in the story. The Holy Spirit reveals the good news to Elizabeth. In verses 41 and 42 it says, "And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb.'" The Holy Spirit and the baby in Elizabeth's womb beat Mary to the punch. Here's Mary coming to share this exciting news, and as soon as she walks in, they're like, "Wow, what a blessing it is to have the mother of my Lord here with me." Mary's like, you know, a dear friend of mine passed away last week, Maria Squire, but she told me a story before she passed. She grew up in the Massachusetts area, and her grandmother went to church with Rose Kennedy, right? And so, you know, it was kind of a big deal to know the Kennedys. So she went to church with the Kennedys, and she said, my grandmother said there was no reason for the Kennedys to even care about her, but for whatever reason, one day after church, her ride hadn't showed up, and Rose Kennedy offered to give her a ride home. And so her grandmother was excited about this time that she gets to ride in Rose Kennedy's limo. And she told the story about how it was really just an alleyway to get to their house. And so, you know, the limo pulled down. She said, you could just drop me off at the end of the street. But they said, no, we'll take you to your door. And so they drive down the thing, but there was no way for the limo to turn around. So she said, the limo's backing up out of the alleyway. But she called Maria to tell her what happened. And so she said, Maria, you will never guess what happened today. And Maria said, Rose Kennedy gave you a ride home. See, the news had beat her to Maria's house. And I think she said her grandmother was upset with her and didn't talk to her for a cute few days. But the news proceeded. There was good news. And it's the same here. The news of this blessed child coming into the world preceded Mary. The Holy Spirit spoke to Elizabeth and said, your Savior is coming. And your cousin is carrying that child. And it was such a wonderful experience. Even the baby in her womb leapt for joy. Right? And we know who John is. John is the prophet, the herald of Jesus' coming. And so this baby had a purpose as well. I guess the consolation is that Elizabeth, knowing even further, confirms the truth of the situation to Mary. You know, the fact that Elizabeth knew before she even shared probably built her faith and understanding of what God was doing in that moment. Have you ever had amazing news to share only to have somebody beat you to it? Yeah. But there was joy in that moment. And look at the response that it generates in verse 43. And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? This is a faith statement. It's revealed to her that Mary's baby is the Messiah that God has promised. And she's saying what an honor it is to have the mother of the promised Messiah come to visit her. What a privilege it had to be able to know who your Messiah was going to be. You know, for years and years and years on end, people were waiting for the promised Messiah to come. They were waiting to find out who it was. They were waiting for deliverance. They were waiting with hope, but without the knowledge of who that was going to be. And in this moment, we get to see the people coming to realize who that Savior was. What an exciting situation. This isn't your normal baby, right? Although my kids are precious, and I love them to death, no baby has been more special than the baby that they were glad to come together over in that moment. And this child was going to demonstrate to the world how much God loves us. How much does God love us? And here's a quote from Mary Ann Williamson. Joy is what happens to us when we allow ourselves to recognize how good things really are. How good are things for us? It's hard to look out at the world and see the turmoil and the brokenness and to say things are good. It's hard. On a daily basis, it's a struggle to find good in a world that would reject the truth of the Scriptures. Right? It seems as though our world is becoming more and more harsh and turned off to the truth that we know. And so it's hard for us to sit at home and watch the news and say things are good. It's hard. But when you look at the situation here, the anticipation of Jesus was the realization that things are getting better. Things are getting better. God made a promise in the Old Testament that what was broken by the sin of man, he was going to repair. And so there was this longing for that repair, that restoration to come. But there was also this knowledge that it hadn't come yet. And there was this longing to find out who that Messiah was going to be. And we get to see in the story the realization of who that is. John the Baptist in John 3:27 verses 30. It says this, John answered, "A person cannot receive even one thing unless it is given to him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I have been sent before him. The one who has the bride is the bridegroom. The friend of the bridegroom who stands and hears him rejoices greatly at the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is now complete. He must increase, but I must decrease." John, Elizabeth's son, was the herald of Jesus Christ in the wilderness, telling people about his coming. He got to be able to be the one that baptized Jesus. He was the one who saw the dove descend upon him. He was blessed in knowing that he got to be the messenger that proclaimed the coming of Christ, the Messiah, the one that everyone had been longing for. And John the Baptist finds joy in the coming of Jesus. He leapt for joy in his mother's womb, just at hearing the voice of his mother, of Jesus' mother. His arrival is the dawning of the new heavens and the new earth. The Messiah is bringing with him redemption, restoration. I know I've used these quotes before, but I think they're appropriate here. It's from Jack Miller. "Cheer up, you're way worse than you know. But cheer up, because God loves you more than you ever dared to dream. He loves you more than you ever could possibly imagine. We cannot begin to fathom the depths of God's love for us. But through the life of Jesus Christ, we get to truly understand how much he loves us. And the fact that he would not even spare his own son to purchase our freedom from sin and death, to restore us and to redeem us, to make us whole again. To adopt us. I may have shared this illustration with you before too, but we are like orphans, right? And there is a king who adopted an orphan like me. And this orphan ran around the castle. He ran around the castle not knowing what was happening. He wasn't sure. He runs into the throne room and the king is waiting there with open arms to scoop him up and to lavish his love on him. And God is the king in our lives. And through his demonstrated love, through the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, he is waiting for us to respond to him in faith so that he can scoop us up in his arms and lavish his love on us. We are no longer orphans. We have been adopted as sons and daughters of God through our faith in Jesus Christ. That's the gospel message. We have been broken, we have been bent, we have been messed up. But God entered into that situation. It started in the passage we saw today. At the very beginning, when Jesus was in his mother's womb, the joy of the world was beginning to be revealed. Jesus, he would come as a baby, but he would live a perfect and sinless life so that when he went to the cross and he shed his blood, he was the perfect sacrifice so that when His blood was applied to us, through the revelation of who He was to us through the Holy Spirit, that by faith we are forgiven because we are washed in His blood. And there is joy in knowing that because of Christ, God loves us more than we ever dared to dream. The truth is revealed to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. It changes us. Through the Holy Spirit, we are given the ability to see the hope that we have and that we have faith in God. And so with joy in our hearts, we should want to share that amazing news with the world. Mary could not wait. With haste, she went to tell people about this miracle that happened, that God had blessed her. We have been blessed greatly. We have been adopted as sons and daughters, and with haste, we need to go out and we need to share that news with the world, because everyone needs to hear the truth of what has been done for them through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is where we find joy, in a world where hope and joy are lacking. We find hope and joy in the love that God the Father has given to us. As a son, you know, I don't know if all of you maybe feel this way, but as a son, I always wanted to make my dad proud. And I know my dad is proud of me. But I always felt like I might be falling short. I did. God is a father that can soothe those feelings of shortcomings in our heart. He can put an end to the lie. He can put an end to the lie that I don't measure up. Because He loves us. He gives us value. It comes without any strings attached. When I worked as a professional Boy Scouter, I had a boss, and his son had severe cerebral palsy. And there wasn't much that he could do. You know? But his love for his son kind of revealed to me the heart of my father also. Because his son couldn't do anything for him. But he loved him because he was his. Our God loves us because we are his. It's not based on what we can do for him. Our feeble efforts to try to make him proud of us cannot make him any more proud of us than he already is. Look around the room. Through adoption, we are all family, literal family. It's not a figurative thing. Through our faith in Jesus Christ, we are literally together adopted as one family. We have joy because we are a part of something bigger than we truly understand. Dr. Brown, one of my seminary professors, he said, when we start talking about the church, we need to say me and mean we. We also need to say we and mean me, because we're all united together through faith in Christ. The church around the world is growing. Our family is growing day by day. It might not look like it when we look at the church as an American church. It may seem that the church has kind of slowed down in growth. It may have even stopped growing in a narrow view. But around the world, there are people coming to faith in vast numbers. There is a prediction that there might be 1 billion believers in China eventually. You know, and it's not that far away. The underground church is thriving. There's places where there is great persecution. And in those places, we see the church growing and flourishing. Where we might not see growth here in our borders, the church is growing around the world, and there should be joy in knowing that that is happening. As we grow in number through others coming to know Christ and joining our congregation, as children are born into our congregation, we should take joy in knowing that our family is growing. Even more than that, with haste and with excitement, we should be actively inviting others to be a part of our faith community and a part of our family of God by sharing the gospel. Amen.